Hey everyone, it's Hannah. I wanted to quickly ask if you are enjoying the podcast, please leave us a 5-star review. It goes a long way in getting the show in front of other listeners. If you listen on a platform that doesn't do reviews, please follow us on social media, like the show, or leave a comment. Thank you. We love you guys, and we hope you enjoy the show. You're listening to The Tales We Tell, a podcast about spooky stories, unsolved mysteries, and local lore. I'm your host, Hannah Parch.
And I'm Katie.
Welcome back.
I was literally about to say, and I'm congested, but we can all clearly tell that.
Oh, it's okay.
It's also nothing new, it feels like. It feels like I'm just always congested.
It's fine.
Daycare germs.
Yay. It's also like gross, and it's been a very like rainy winter so far.
But like every Sunday. It's like 3 weeks in a row now, it feels like. It's been rainy on the weekend.
Yeah.
Like last weekend it was nice Saturday. Wet, dreary Sunday.
Yeah. Although it's not technically winter yet, is it?
I don't know.
I think first day of winter is Thursday.
I think it is.
And we've had a lot of thunderstorms, which technically means we should get snow this year.
Not thrilled about that prospect.
I am. You're a Grinch.
I mean, yes, but not this year. I'm actually excited about Christmas. Not to the level that you are, clearly, with your elf t-shirt.
We did our Christmas this morning, so, which is why Kelly has a new bone and a new lamb chop toy, if you saw that.
She didn't show me lamb chop.
I was hoping that's what she would bring to you, since it's softer and not like a 5-pound bone that she could have dropped on you
or scratched me with. She loves.
Yeah. She hasn't chewed it enough to make it dangerous yet, but she has ripped out lamb chop's face. So,
well, successful Christmas for her.
Yes, it has been. So, well, Jarek's awkwardly sitting over there waiting
because he has to watch me open a present, even though I forgot to bring our presents. I got here and I realized, I was like, I have half a mind to turn around and go and get them.
That's okay. But we can say to our listeners, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
If you celebrate, because this episode comes out
the week before.
The week before Christmas. Mm-hmm. And we won't be here next week, remember, everyone. So
we'll be back here after the new year.
Yes. So listen to an old episode. Listen to the Alcatraz episodes, maybe.
Okay, it's one thing for this to be your personality. It's another thing to shove it down everyone's throat.
Hey, I'm getting a good family discussion going. I was, like, looking, I was organizing in here, and I was like, oh, which of these books should I take home with me for Christmas break?
Anyways, all Alcatraz books?
Yeah, this is my Alcatraz collection.
All right, which one am I supposed to open?
I mean, you can open both of them. One of them is very small.
Okay.
And then the one Jarek's waiting on is the bigger one.
Okay.
So, open the little one first.
Okay.
Yeah.
Little bag. I'm hoping that by, because I'm going to the post office on Monday to ship presents. Uh-huh. I'm hoping that maybe by Thursday, when it's time for me to bring your presents, they'll have located your present.
Yeah, that's fine.
Oh, it's a crocheted I was going to say, it is an ornament.
Yeah.
Happy holidays. That's so cute.
I didn't know if that pun made sense, but I made it up.
I like it. I like it. This little cross-stitch crow ornament.
I asked Jarek if the pun made sense, and he said yes.
So. I thought so.
Thanks.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. I had fun with it.
Walker's real good at his crow, and he enjoys it.
Yeah.
What does a crow say?
Ca-ca.
Ca-ca.
We still need to record that.
Yeah.
And use it for our baby swears.
Yeah. A box.
Thomas didn't wrap it. You don't need to read that right now if you don't want to.
But it's a pretty envelope.
Thanks.
You finished it!
I finished it!
Oh my goodness! Oh, I can't wait to show my dad.
I'm glad. I was excited when you said he was coming down.
It looks so good.
I'm glad. Well, she did most of it, so it wasn't.
And you can't even tell, like, there's...
I know.
You did a fantastic job.
Thanks.
Oh,
I know. And you found a tag. They had little tags. And I have more. Like, there's a bunch of those if you want those. Because they were with the stuff.
Yeah. So, my mom used to do cross-stitch, among many other crafts and hobbies just like me. She had this one cross-stitch pattern. It's an offshore oil platform. Because my dad designs those. Mm-hmm. And so she had the pattern and all the, you know, plethora of supplies and everything, but never got around to finishing it before she died. And so I found it and I was like, I am not big on cross stitch. It's not my thing. I'll dabble here and there. Mm-hmm. And I was like, Hannah, do you think you would be interested in finishing this? And she did, and it looks amazing. You got the sparkly thread in there, too.
I know. That stuff is a bitch to work with.
Oh, I believe it. I believe it.
It, like, shreds itself as you use it.
Oh, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Merry Christmas. So I have something silly. I have two announcements first, which are both shout-outs. So the first one is to my friend Sarah and her children, Shyla and Desiree, and then also Elena and Amina, who are the little ones. I just found out that they listened, and they are getting a unrelated package this week, and included in that is a bunch of stickers.
Awesome.
Yeah, because she mentioned that, and then, like, on the side, asked if some stickers could be included, and I was like, yes. And then I was
absolutely.
Like, anytime you want more stickers, I was like, I will send so many, because, like, free advertising for us. Like, put them on whatever you want. So... Hi, Sarah, and Shyla and Desiree, who are, I assume, the ones that mostly listen.
Yeah.
Also, on that note, this is an episode that's good for all of them. So
Dante and Tiny Tim
episode. Dante, Tiny Tim, awesome. Elena, Amina, who are 8, I think. All y'all. Everyone listen. And then my other shout-out is to my coworker, Jerry, who, I don't know when he found out I had a podcast, but... asked me about it the other day and started listening, and then indulged me and let me talk about Alcatraz for like 10 minutes when I should have been leaving for my dentist appointment. So I love Jerry. He sits in the office right next to me, so we yell back and forth to each other.
It's awesome.
He's great.
It's kind of funny having, like, knowing these shout outs before you said them.
I know.
You'd already told me these stories because we got to hang out this week.
I know.
We had another movie night.
We did. We watched another porny movie together.
Yep. Not as explicit, I guess, as the B-Girls.
It wasn't part of the plot, I would say.
Yeah. Although it was more gratuitous.
Yeah.
And so we watched two. We watched one about... something about the shark gods.
Yeah, something about, like, reef, something Reef Island.
Shark, maybe that was Shark it. Reef Island. And this was from the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
And also a very kind of hard-to-follow plot.
Yeah.
Basically, two brothers, one of whom is a criminal and had murdered someone.
I thought he was the one we were supposed to be pulling for. He wasn't.
Nope. No, because he was the dark-haired one. The dark-haired one is the villain, and the blonde-haired is always the hero. Like, that's just formulaic there.
I obviously thought we were supposed to be pulling for the criminal.
So, they are escaping. They get shipwrecked on an island.
Because of a reef that you can either, like, swim to and or swim around.
It's somehow an uncharted island.
But there's a company. Oh,
but yeah, but there's a company... because only women live there, uh-huh. But, like, on one hand, they've never seen men before, but there's no children there, so how do the women get there? Like, they get there as adult women, and they all work for a company, so they dive for oysters to shuck them to find pearls that then mm-hmm. go to the company.
And they're mostly native women.
Yes, like, so it was filmed in Hawaii.
Yes.
And so, like... most of the actresses, like, all the women there are probably just, you know, local women.
Mm-hmm. Except for our protagonist.
Except for, yeah, like...
the love interest.
And,
very clearly a white woman with dark hair.
That's basically... the speaking parts are the white women.
Yes, with bad accents.
Oh, and yeah, no, it very was offensive. Like, yeah, very offensive, just a generic kind of like Southeast Asian mm-hmm. accent of
they're like
someone who like learned English as a second language.
Yeah, not good.
No. That's the yeah. 50s for you.
And then the second one was called Don't Open Till Christmas.
This was an actual horror movie.
Yes, this one was good.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we forgot to mention that there was, like, sacrifices. In the,
yeah.
They, you know, they a girl, the protagonist, was selected to be the sacrifice to the shark god mm-hmm. because...
Yeah, the description had a lot of good buzzwords, like virgin sacrifice, mm-hmm. shark god, nubile women.
Yep.
And then it turned out to kind of be a flop.
Yeah. I'm not impressed.
Yeah.
Don't Open Before Christmas?
Don't Open Till Christmas.
Till Christmas.
Was,
that was a horror movie.
Yes. And it was about
kind of like an early slasher film.
Yeah. It was about a serial killer who was...
murdering people dressed as Santa.
But only sometimes. Because the very first people he murdered was just a random couple.
Making out.
And then there was a woman wearing a Santa costume.
She was wearing a Santa cape over absolutely nothing.
Over her nude body.
Yeah.
That he just looked at and then decided not to murder her.
Yeah, enjoyed looking at.
Yeah. And wasn't there another... And then he didn't murder... I thought there was someone else he didn't murder, or he did murder that wasn't...
Well, he murdered one of the Santa's daughters who was being very, she was conducting her own investigation.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he murdered her.
But that's because she kind of figured out who yeah, he was.
Yeah, it was very confusing.
Mm-hmm.
And then the whole, his motives turned out to be because when he was a little boy, he
walked in on Santa Claus...
having sex with someone.
Some other woman in, I guess, might have been his room. That's why he went in there.
Yeah. And then Santa got mad.
And, like, tried to push him out. And his mom, we think, heard commotion upstairs or maybe came in to just check on him. And she got pushed down the stairs and we think maybe died?
Yeah, possibly died.
Probably died.
And so he harbored a murderous rage against Santa's mm-hmm. until he was an adult.
Which, I think he was actually institutionalized for a long time.
Yeah.
I don't know how long he had been out of the institution. And there's no explanation for what triggered, this killing spree.
Was he arrested at the end?
I don't think so, because...
Because the
we
cop
don't know,
got
that... Well, we don't know if... So, he kidnapped another woman and was mm-hmm. going to kill her, but she escaped, sort of, and she pushed him, and he fell down, like, she pushed him over the balcony, mm-hmm. fell down several floors, and so when she went downstairs, she went to go check and see if he was dead or alive,
mm-hmm.
and that's when he lunges for her and grabs her, and then it cuts to a different scene, so they don't say whether or not he died.
Uh-huh.
Or if she died, or both, or neither, or what happened, because it cuts to his brother,
uh-huh.
Who was the detective and was, like, investigating the killing spree, and he opens a Christmas present from the serial killer brother, and he sits it down, and he's enjoying
box.
It, and then, boom.
A really poorly done explosion.
Yeah, and also doesn't say whether or not he lived.
Yeah. A lot of plot holes.
There's lots of plot holes. Lots of, I guess they were trying to be artistic and, like, let the audience infer.
Yeah. It did have a lot of creative,
methods
murders.
For killing.
Yeah.
He definitely liked to either, like, mutilate someone's face, basically, mm-hmm. like a machete to the face, or come from behind and stab through the throat
or
the
mouth.
Neck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he had, like, basically a spear or like a...
Yeah, like a bayonet or something.
Pike or something that came through and actually like came out Santa's mouth from the front. It was nice and gruesome.
It was good.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways.
Some of the, like the makeup and effects and everything, uh-huh. really were pretty good, especially for the time.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah, I would say that one was worth it. Mm-hmm. If you're going to watch a good old slasher Christmas movie, maybe don't watch it with your parents because the nudity is kind of weird.
It's just this one woman who takes, you know, nude photographs, mm-hmm. and she's just a model.
Mm-hmm. But she really likes showing her boobs.
Yeah. So there's several scenes of just her in underwear or in a Santa cape. Because
the very next scene when she's being investigated, she's wearing a robe and she like says something and is like, but what about this? And like just opens up her robe. It's very silly.
But at least she doesn't just start randomly like caressing herself. Well, no,
there was. No, she did. Someone did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oops.
And then there was the almost assault when the serial killer caught up to her. He just kind of dragged his knife down her body without cutting her.
Yep.
And he just had crazy eyes. Yep. And then he left.
And he left. So there's that.
Which, if anything, I feel like that would be the most triggering based on what we later learned about his childhood experience.
Wow. Weird. Anyways. All right, you ready?
I am.
Okay. I'm just going to jump right into what we're talking about. Okay. In 1978. So around the time that movie was made, maybe. A guy named Art Bell created a late night paranormal themed radio show called West Coast AM, which was later renamed Coast to Coast AM, which is still on the air today, by the way, and would later become one of the most popular overnight shows in the country. And he had a segment called Open Time Lines, during which people could call or send in...
Excuse me?
Bless you. So they could call in or send in their own stories of, like, paranormal experiences or alien abductions or whatever. Okay, so on July 29th, 1998, a fax comes in to the show. And this is how the fax starts. Dear Art, I had to fax when I heard other time travelers calling in from any time past the year 2500 AD. Please let me explain. And this is what this person goes on to explain. Several things.
Okay. I'm intrigued. I'm here for it.
Okay. So several things. First, this is a really long fax, mind you. So he says that time travel was invented in 2034. So like in 11 years.
Cool.
By CERN. You know what CERN is?
Uh-huh.
Do you know what it stands for?
I don't.
It's French. I had the hardest time figuring this out because I was like, I looked it up, and it's the European Council for Nuclear Research, but translate that into French, and it spells
CERN.
Mm-hmm. And I guess they do stuff with, like, atoms and... atoms. Mm-hmm. I don't know. My only reference for that is Angels and Demons, which is a Dan Brown
book. Makes me think of Warehouse 13, which is a phenomenal show. I think I've mentioned it before, but one of the characters, he was actually trying to work on, like, time travel and stuff, and he got stuck because he got a hold of an artifact and it backfired, but they eventually, you know, rescued him. Then he started working at CERN.
Oh, okay. Well, that's the place to work if you want to get to time travel. Mm. All right. So this is a quote from our time traveler. He says, time itself can be understood in terms of connected lines. Okay, so according to him, the multiple timelines theory is the correct one. So a new timeline is created every time you travel back in time. And when you travel back in time, you can and often do meet yourself. And that doesn't f*** anything up. And you can, and usually do, alter history in the timeline that you've created, but the changes are usually really subtle. For example, things like books being released later than they normally would be, or models of cars that don't exist, but it's not like...
So whenever I'm reading a book and it's a series and I go to see like, okay, it's going to be released on, you know, December 17th, mm-hmm. and then I go back later, I'm like, I think this one was going to, let me check, because I think it's supposed to be released sometime in December, and it's actually supposed to be really released in February now. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what in the, what, heck, no, why? Mm-hmm. Why do I have to wait even longer now? So it's because somebody traveled through time, and now yep, we're all
at this timeline.
They messed up our timeline.
Yep, that's Dang what it is. Another thing he said is that you have to compensate for the orbit of the Earth when time traveling. Hmm. I will say, he gets into a lot of technical stuff about the actual time travel, which I did not understand and will not go into it. I don't understand the question, and I refuse to... What does she say?
I won't respond.
I won't respond to it. Yes. Okay. This is a big one. No one has been able to travel past the year 2564. Quote, everyone who has been there has reported that nothing exists. When the machine is turned off, you find yourself surrounded by blackness and silence.
Okay. So this is 2564?
2564.
So what happens if they travel to 2565?
You can't. You just hit a wall.
No. After that. So, like, nothing comes before 2564, right?
Nothing comes after 2564.
Oh, I'm confused.
No one's been able to travel past 2564. AD. So, like, 500 and some years from now.
Oh, you're talking about in the future.
Yes, in the future.
Okay, I...
not in the past.
Yeah. My brain is non-functioning at this point. Probably no. Everyone's like, wow, when did Katie turn into a freaking idiot?
No.
I'm struggling to function today, clearly.
That's okay. He's talking about future. Well, we were talking about traveling into the past. Now we're talking about going into the future.
That's why I missed that detail.
That's okay.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Sometimes my brain just kind of like skims over conversations.
That's okay.
I can't tell you how many times I'm reading something and like my brain just and my eyes just kind of skip down and I'm like, wait, when did that happen? What detail? And I look back and it's like, oh, she picked up a glass. And I was like, okay, that's how, because she wasn't holding a glass a minute ago and now she's throwing the drink in somebody's face. I don't know.
I had to text Hannah Cox about this episode because there's a math thing coming up and I was like, does this make sense to you? Because I had to...
I am not going to be able to math here in a minute.
Okay. So he also says that in trying to figure out, quote, where the line went bad, so they're trying to figure out, like, they're trying to work backwards from 2564 and figure out why.
Okay, so that was going to be my follow-up question. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, well, the reverse end, now that I know what direction we're talking yeah. about, because I'm an idiot. What happens in 2563, the year before the wall?
Great question. Much like our movie, there are some plot holes in this.
Got it.
all I know is that working backwards, they have determined that the year that things went bad to start this was the year 2000.
Yeah, the year 2000 really kind of sucked for me. So
yeah. So this is where he starts giving some warnings to people. Warnings, predictions, whatever. So the first one, he says, quote, Y2K is a disaster. Many people die on the highways when they freeze to death trying to get to warmer weather. Sure. And then he says martial law is enacted, although he spells martial law wrong. So martial law is enacted to try and maintain order, I guess, after Y2K.
How does he spell it?
Like the name Marshall. Martial law is enacted, but that ultimately fails And most people collectively decide that, quote, we shouldn't bring the old system back. And then after, quote, the Constitution takes a few twists and a communal government is developed.
Communal government.
I don't really know what that means, but the he'll go on later to talk about how, like, we just make some changes to the Constitution. He says that China overtakes Taiwan and, quote, Israel wins the largest battle for their life. Don't know what that means.
Not going well so far.
I know. And then he says that some nuclear reactors in Russia fail, covering the country in, quote, nuclear snow.
Well, there was the issue in Japan with the... Was it a tsunami or an earthquake? Or I guess both, right? Because the tsunami was caused by an earthquake.
Oh, yeah.
That led to a big crack and...
I forgot there. About that. That was in, like, 2011, though, wasn't it?
I don't know. It was after 2000.
It was, very much after that. So he ends by saying, Art, the reason I'm here now is because I believe a nuclear weapon set off by Iraq in the Middle East war with Israel might have something to do with the damage timeline. I will test that theory and get back to you. Please pray that we discover the reason why there is no apparent future after 2564.
Well, I won't be around in 2564. Walker won't be around in 2564. I don't care.
Your descendants might be.
I won't know them, so I don't care.
Okay. That is the attitude, though, of the politicians who don't care about climate change, though.
big facetious here.
I know. Okay, so he sends another fax very soon, like within a day or two.
Okay.
And in this one, he explains that he has been sent, or that he has been on this timeline since April, but he's planning on leaving pretty soon. And says, quote, for my own reasons, I have decided to help this world line by sharing information about the future with a few people in the hope that it will help their future. And he suggested that Art, quote, isolate the programs that concentrate on military technology and new physics theories, like within his own radio program.
Uh-huh.
I think he said to transcribe them. And then to store them somewhere safe, and he suggested possibly the Midwest.
Okay. Well, yeah, because nothing ever happens there.
Nothing happens there. He also urged him to, quote, reconsider your paranoia to the Russians, because they would eventually save millions of American lives despite an inevitable war. And to validate his claims, he said that he would send some pages from his time machine's user manual and some photographs of the machine itself.
Yep, awesome. Can't wait to see what it looks like.
So, I don't know if he sent that to Art himself, but they do show up. And I don't know if you want to look at them now or later, but that's... It's right over here on your left. Of course it is. But that's your entire dossier.
Yeah, I want to see that.
You can ignore that one for now. That'll come up in a second. But this is just a bunch of stuff that he sends. And make of it what you choose to make of it.
Okay. Interesting diagrams.
Yep.
I like that everything's labeled, though.
Yeah. Yep. And this is all... I got this from...
see a flux capacitor, though.
Yeah, that is missing. And he doesn't mention one in all of his descriptions of this.
Huh.
And he calls it... What does he call it? He calls it, like, a displacement machine or something. Hmm. All of this I got from my favorite website, archive.org.
Main singularity. Steering singularity.
You can also find...
Remote control unit.
You can find the, original transcripts from every time that he showed up online, which we're about to get into, on archive.org. And I will have those in the show notes if you want to go through. It's almost 400 pages, so wow. It's a lot.
A lot to go through.
Yeah, and a lot of it is other people responding to him, but if you're into reading old chat room forums from the 2000s, it's pretty interesting.
See? Now, the time travel unit.
Yeah.
Was invented in, you said 2034?
2034, yes.
This definitely looks something straight out of, like, 80s or 90s.
There's a reason.
It doesn't look like something that was made today.
Well, there's a reason for that. We'll get to it.
Okay.
There's a reason the picture looks old. I'll say that at least.
Well, like, yeah, the picture looks like something that was taken that was old.
Yeah.
But just because the picture was taken by, like, old technology doesn't mean the subject should be old technology.
I don't know. 2 years after he shows up in, or after he faxes in to this radio show, in October of 2000, a user going by TimeTravel_0 joins a paranormal chat room. This one I found very interesting because this is just seemingly kind of I don't want to say a private chat room, but like he mostly is talking just to two other people, whereas later he's going to be talking to like a whole bunch. Like he's in more of a forum thing where lots of people are discussing amongst themselves. Yeah. So he just joins this chat room. He mostly talks to two other users, and it's really like they're the only three people on there. And these other two users are Yurisa and Steve, who goes by G. And they're both British, both of these two people.
All right.
And, like, it's kind of interesting, like, when you read through it, like, the chat room is obviously for people who already believe in, obviously, paranormal stuff. Yurisa, I think, says at one point that she has lived a past life, and she says something about, you know, well, when I tell people that I've already lived, you know, 36 other years before this life, you know, you think people believe me, because they're talking about his claims. So it's just interesting that they are coming to it with already this
open mind.
Yes. So TimeTravel_0 introduces himself as John. He says that he is a 38-year-old time traveler from Florida, and he is visiting from the year 2036. And he says that he's been in the year 2000 for about 3 months, and that he was staying with his parents, and that his current self, so 2-year-old him, was upstairs asleep. So he had gone back to the year 2000, met his parents, convinced them of who he was, and they were letting him stay there. And his current self, who was a 2-year-old toddler, was also there. And that doesn't mess anything up.
It'd be so weird if future Walker...
Right.
I mean, time travel's gonna be a thing before, you know, he's a teenager.
Yep.
So, it'd be weird to see an adult Walker come in and be like, by the way, I'm me.
Yep.
I'd be like, you're a crazy person.
Can you imagine if some blonde guy just showed up on your porch and was... Which, first of all, if Walker continues... I mean, some blonde guy that also looks just like you.
So that's the thing, is like, I feel like we would recognize him.
Yeah. But if he showed up and was like, I know you're going to think I'm crazy, but I'm Walker.
I'm your son.
But I'm 38, and... time travel's a thing where I'm from, and I'm visiting for reasons. Can I stay here?
I'd be like, you better have come with the winning lottery numbers.
Yeah. He'd be like, you better have some kind of proof.
Yeah.
Or no. So, this chat that he carries on is very casual. John answers, like, all the questions that they have. He tells them that the invention of time travel has to do with, quote, quote, high-speed proton acceleration and the creation of, quote, a black hole about the size of an electron. That's what I'm telling you. I don't understand it. It also has a lot to do with gravity.
A black hole the size of an electron?
Uh-huh. A really small black hole.
Isn't one of the defining features of black holes that they're very, very big?
I don't know. I don't know any of that thing.
See, black holes are one of those things that, like, I want to learn more about, but also I don't.
Black holes used to scare the shit out of me. Because
they, you know, kind of freak me out, just the idea of them, but...
I think black holes are one of those things, when I first learned about them, it was like radiation, where I was... I didn't really understand that, like, there's not real... I mean, radiation, yes, now there is slightly more of a possibility that I could come into contact with it. But, like, black holes, I was like, you could just be sucked into a black hole.
Okay, I think there is such a thing as a micro black hole.
So John also says that he didn't expect them to believe everything that he was saying, and he realized that he was, quote, more entertaining than anything else, which G, or Steve, said he thought made him more believable. He was like, well, the fact that you don't really expect to be believed or aren't trying to convince anyone kind of makes you more believable, which could have been his plan all along, but whatever. So John said that he had been sent back to 1975 to get an IBM model 5110, which was that first picture that I told you to ignore, because engineers in 2036 needed it to, quote, recode Unix, which dies in 2038. Okay. Just stick with me for a second.
I'm barely here.
Okay. So the 5110 was the first portable computer that IBM ever made. It's very big and bulky. And apparently it was able to read the old IBM mainframe code. I don't know. But there is something called the Y2038 problem, which is very similar to what they thought the Y2K problem was going to be. Okay, I'm going to try to explain it. This is what I had to have Hannah Cox help me with, kind of. And I really just read the Wikipedia page for it. All right, so Unix time is something that is measuring time by the number of seconds that have elapsed since, like, zero on January 1st, 1970. And that is, like, the system that, I guess, Unix is, like, measured in. Uh-huh. Okay, so that is stored in data that is only capable of being represented in integers between really big numbers, but -2,147,483,648 and +2,147,483,647, which means mostly that it's a finite thing, but it means that the latest it can encode is seconds after January 1st of 1970, which is at 3:14:07 on January 19th of 2038. So this is like a real thing that at 3:14:07 on January 19th of 2038, everything's gonna like overflow and reset to zero.
Which is, so when I remember, you know, Y2K, that was kind of what everyone was, you know, freaked out about. Again, I was, like, 10 years old, and so I wasn't fully understanding why everyone was freaking out about Y2K, but one of the things was they're like, all of the, like, none of the computers are set up to, like, you know, that basically it can't count that high kind of a thing. Like, it can't. It won't understand, like, the code isn't set up to encompass more time after the year, you know, after midnight on 99. And therefore, like, computer systems will crash and fail. The banks will fail, too, because everything's digital now and blah, blah, blah. And that's why everyone was freaked out. And then I asked my parents about it. They're like, no, that's garbage.
Yeah. It's weird.
It's not going to be an issue. It's fine.
Yeah. Because that was essentially, like, them worrying that computers wouldn't understand that what comes after 1999 was 2000. But this is, like, an actual, like, computer programming flaw.
Yeah.
And, like, computer engineers know about it.
Uh-huh.
And they don't actually have a solution for it yet. So it is, like, an actual problem. And I think right now the solution is just, like, that's tomorrow's problem. Like, that's 15 years from now. And
so, I mean, what all is being, like, used or stored on this computer? And, like, why can't it be transferred to a different system thing that's set up to... I don't understand the problem enough to understand.
I all of my brain power was used to understand that one part.
And I have negative 2 billion whatever that to number offer. Is. That's my brain power is definitely in the negative. Like, I feel like it doesn't feel physically like cotton. It feels more of like a oh, crap, I'm supposed to be listening to something. I totally spaced out.
Like, no, that's okay, that's okay.
Struggling to stay awake. And
that's okay.
I'm dying here, y'all.
We got food if you want.
That's all right. I just ate, I'm fine.
Okay.
That's probably fine. Part of it is I ate, I have a full belly, and now I'm ready for rest.
Okay, so essentially John is saying he's being sent back in time to get this old, original IBM model.
Uh-huh.
To fix what is actually a very real future problem.
Okay.
He also tells them that the year 2000, or possibly the decade of 2000, has a bad historical reputation for being a time, quote, when they had it all and squandered it. So we have that going for us.
That's about right.
Yeah. And then he starts getting into some real so he says that in 2015, there's going to be a nuclear war. But it's not that bad. Because the bombs are much cleaner. Whatever that means. But there's also going to be another civil war. But he says it's, quote, more like city against country. And that Russia helps us win. And I wrote who, but I think later we find out us is the rural side, which is who wins.
And they helped the politicians win.
True. And then Russia becomes our largest trading partner.
Nope.
And then he says that in 2036, life is more family oriented. There are, quote, fewer luxuries, but life is more enjoyable, and that he couldn't imagine not living near his family. Because he talks to Eurisa about, she's telling him how she lives by herself and her family, like, you know, lives far away. And he's like, I could never imagine that. You know, life is so different now, etc. About a month later, in November, a user named time_traveler_0 shows up in the Time Travel Institute forums.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a much bigger, this is like Reddit, but for time travel enthusiasts.
Time Travel Institute, like that's legit.
I know.
Institute of Time Travel. Pretty sure time travel has to actually exist for you to have an institute, right?
Well, it was started in the future, so.
We got the institution set up. We just gotta wait until our present timeline catches up to the time when time travel's invented.
Yes, exactly. So he starts out by commenting on a post and, like, essentially stating that the poster was correct in his, and stating that altering history happened in alternate timelines. So the poster was saying, like, oh, if you go back and kill your grandma, you're not going to cease to exist because that is going to happen in an alternate timeline. You've just killed her in a, you've just killed yourself in an alternate timeline.
Right, but you don't exist in that timeline anymore.
Yeah, you've ceased to exist in another timeline, but this, the you that killed her still exists.
Yeah.
Because that's in... Because
you're starting your new
timeline. Yeah, you've started a different
timeline. Well, and that also, I mean, and that obviously explains why, you know, time travelers like, oh, well, we have a civil war, there's, you know, these, you know, there's another nuclear war, but it's not so bad. All of this stuff happens, but then it didn't happen. And that's because clearly... Since he posted that, somebody else traveled back in time and changed things enough that that's why that we're all on a different timeline than what he originally came from.
Katie, take a sip of your drink.
Yes, please. It's, I can barely function, but I still,
that's,
still get some things right.
That's the catch-all for time travel predictions is you can say, you can always say
it's a scapegoat.
Yep.
Alternate timeline is a scapegoat.
Yes, exactly. So he goes on in this forum to talk to, like, just to interact with everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously he introduces himself, tells them who he is. And
I'm John from the future.
I'm John from the future.
He should have gone with Phil.
Phil.
Ugh. Phil of the future.
How would he have known? How wouldn't he have known?
I mean...
So he just essentially is now answering a bunch of questions. So he describes what time travel feels like. It is experiencing up to 2 G's of force. You get a short burst of ultraviolet radiation outside of the window, so you have to wear sunglasses. Lots of heat. And a slight hum from the machine and lots of static electricity.
All right.
So, in case you're wondering. He mentions the nuclear war of 2015 again, but he now calls it a world war. And now he says, remember before he said it wasn't that bad because the nuclear weapons were cleaner? Now he says it killed almost 3 billion people.
Well, it's because he went back in time and started talking about it. So he changed that.
Yeah. And for comparison, World War II, which is considered the deadliest military conflict in history, had an estimated 70 to 80 million casualties. So, million with an M, and this third World War allegedly kills 3 billion with a B.
That's like... almost half of the planet's population.
That's, yeah. So, but it's not that bad because the nuclear weapons are cleaner, so it's fine.
But that means, like...
That's like a plague level.
The only people
level.
Left are the people that are in undeveloped countries because, like, unless they were randomly targeted because, you know, the only places with nuclear weapons are the developed nations.
I know. Like,
so basically we got... Yeah, second and third world countries are the only ones left.
Well, I guess Florida's left, because that's where he's from.
Mm.
So,
Florida is very much like a roach in that way.
It really is. Well, and I guess the Midwest, he said that, you know.
Midwest is safe. Yeah, because why waste a nuke there, you know? You get a cow.
Yeah, you're not going to get much for your... Not much for your... I don't know what I'm trying to say.
Not much bang for your bang.
Thank you. Oh, man. So, he says that the Civil War of 2015 lasts 10 years and is ended by a nuclear attack from Russia, which I guess starts the nuclear war. And so then the sides are the American Federal Empire.
Oh, my. Okay.
China and Europe versus rural America and Russia. But rural America and Russia win because Russia nukes everyone, I guess. And do you want to know where the new United States Capitol is?
Alabama? Nope. Is it Florida?
No. No, God, no.
Is it the Midwest?
Yep.
Kansas?
Omaha. Oh, wow. Omaha, Nebraska. He also reiterates the family-oriented society. He says there's no more industrial complexes, and that there is only locally sourced food and livestock. He says religion is really big, but it's not commercialized. He says life is more rural, although technology has advanced, obviously, with the time travel. He also says that the elderly are revered and well taken care of, as are orphans. So that's good.
Orphans are revered, huh?
Well, taken care of. Okay. Well taken care of, I guess.
There's probably a lot of orphans.
They're yeah.
Blowing up billions of people.
Yeah. Also, apparently it's pretty hard to have a kid.
Well, all that nuclear radiation floating around, I bet fertility...
Yeah.
Taking some hits.
Yeah. And I say this later, but the average lifespan in the future is only 60, so not doing great there.
So I could totally have a midlife crisis now.
You could.
Or maybe when I was, you know, in my early 20s thinking I was having a quarter life crisis, it really was just
that was midlife. Your midlife crisis, yeah.
Got it.
So he talks more about his time machine. He says that that is outfitted into a 1967 Chevrolet, but he planned on switching it and returning in a 1987 Ford WD, because whatever year you're going to, the vehicle that you use, it needs to fit in. Uh-huh. So, like, if you're going into the 70s, you obviously can't go in with, like, a 98
right.
Ford. And also, whatever vehicle you use has to have a strong suspension to handle
all the G's. The
stuff.
Yeah. 2 G's is going to be a lot.
Yeah, gotta get a good suspension. People ask him about, like, oh, the physical, if there's any, like, physical whatever. Like, what am I trying to say? Why aren't my words working today?
Side effects.
Thank you. And he says there aren't any, except he has found that he's more susceptible to colds. So, Katie, I would suggest that you do not do any time traveling right now.
Oh, I'm thinking that maybe that's what Walker's doing at daycare, is they're actually building tiny time machines and he's traveling through time all day. And that's why he's getting all those germs and bringing them back to me.
A lot of sense.
My kid's a time traveler.
Smart. That makes a lot of sense. Look for signs. Ask him about the Cold War. I mean, the Civil War in the future.
Yeah, sounds good.
Let's see. Oh, people ask in the future. And so, what did I say? 15? What is it? 1936 is when he's from.
Not 1936.
Sorry. 2036. Gosh.
But he was born in 1998 because he came back to the year 2000 staying with his parents and his two-year-old self.
This guy is so much younger than us.
Yeah.
Anyways.
But at the time, he was 30 when we were 10.
Yes. Well, 38.
Yeah.
I was trying to say...
So, like, really, he's older than us because he wasn't born in 1998.
Right. I was trying to do the math of how far into the future is 2036. It's 13 years.
Yeah.
Okay. So, someone's asking, in 2036, do we know what the deal is with aliens and UFOs? No, is what he says.
So we can do time travel, but we can't find out if there's other life.
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck, man?
That's backwards to me. Like, I find, you know, the idea of us making contact with other life, if it exists in the universe, that seems much more likely or realistic to me than time travel. Like, as much as I like to spend time thinking about time travel.
Yeah.
Because as I said, This is my thing. This is my, my brain goes on its own little wormhole and I just can sit and zone out and just theorize on time travel. No matter how much I do that, no matter how much time I spend thinking about time travel, I don't honestly believe it's feasible or realistic.
Yeah. At least not in 13 years.
Definitely not in 13 years.
Or I guess in 11 years.
Whatever.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's not happening anytime soon. Like,
well, the very next thing he said, well, he says, we still don't know much about UFOs or aliens, but he thinks that they are time travelers that are more advanced. And they're just, like, traveling around through time. He also says that there are no new advances in space travel. Excuse me?
So, it's kind of like when we did our The Ocean's Going to Kill You episode.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how we, you know, it's a common fact that, you know, we've explored more of space or we know more about space than right. we do our own oceans.
Right.
And part of that is because there's not a lot of money in oceanographic research.
True.
So, and I think that, you know, people were exploring the oceans, but then the idea of exploring space kind of came into the purview, and everyone's like, oh, well, let's throw, like, space is sexy and exciting and new, and, like, let's throw money at that.
Yeah.
And so now we've already seen, like, people are like, oh, you know, space, whatever, we've been to the moon, cool, done. Like, oh, we've sent some robots to Mars. Cool. Done. There's more satellites up there than we can even count. There's so much space junk floating around. Like, eh, space is, it's, we're getting less interested. Let's find something else to be interested in, throw money at.
I'm just thinking, if you're trying to convince someone that in 36 years, we have invented time travel, but we haven't done anything new in space. Like, we haven't tried to go to Mars. We haven't gone back to the moon. We haven't put a...
I think attempting to terraform Mars is more likely and realistic than time travel.
Yeah. I mean, we are working on that, right? I mean, he couldn't have at least predicted that Elon Musk was going to, like, put a Tesla in space.
That guy.
Throw some cars up there. Make...
Because our planet's not enough, we have to litter.
Mm-hmm. Got to litter space. Well, we just need to throw money away to show people how cool you are.
It's not even that cool.
It's really not. Here's something else fun about the future. Hats are more common.
Well, you know, fashion is, you know, trends are cyclical.
Yeah.
You know, like, in the 90s, flower power and smiley faces and, like, hippie core was very popular.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Bell bottoms and flared jeans are coming back again.
God help us.
So it's, like, every 20 years. We get to see these same generic styles multiple times in our life.
Just keep the, those hip huggers.
I mean, chokers are back, sort of.
Chokers I can get with.
Yeah.
Keep the hip huggers away. Get those.
I like my mom jeans now.
Same. Did I mention, did I say on the podcast, did I share my joyful news of the nice thing that the girls at Publix said about me?
You didn't say it on the podcast. You just texted me.
I was, the one thing about that made me so happy, two girls at Publix told me I looked 25. Which was great, wonderful, because I'm 33.
God, I feel like, based on how I feel, I'm like, I probably look like I'm like 60 or something. Like, I feel so run down and ancient and just haggard.
Well, I think one of the things that was also flattering about that when I thought about it more was when I think about the way that generation dresses, which, I did the math, 25 would be Gen Z, technically. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, wow. I wasn't completely dressed like a total millennial and, like, didn't totally give myself away. I was wearing high-waisted skinny jeans
Well, I mean, that was probably it. Just high-waisted skinny jeans. But I'll die in those. But, like, I pulled it off well enough so that someone didn't immediately know that I was fully born at the beginning of 1990. Anyways, I just want to share with the world. I'm still riding that high. All the way
as you should.
Into 2024.
As you should.
And I will maybe ride it until I turn 34. Who knows? Okay, back to fashion. Hats are more common. Flashy colors are not. Flashy colors are out.
But sorry, B, your neon party.
It's going to be out.
Out of style.
Turn it down. But people do love an excuse to get dressed up. He was like, why are people wearing jeans
to church? Well, I mean, that makes sense if rural America is, like, now the country's leader. You don't see tons of flashy colors. It's much more because in rural America, people are typically working, you know, outdoors or on the land or whatever, you know, more rugged. So neutrals is kind of the way to go. But who doesn't like getting, you know, dressed up? So, like, yeah, sure. Wear a big, you know, a red dress. Like, that'll be flashy and fun.
Yeah.
But only for special occasions.
Yeah, only for special occasions. So then at the end of this whole thing, he randomly insinuates, which, mind you, at the beginning of his, like, entrance into the internet, he had said that Y2K had been a disaster that killed a bunch of people, right?
Yeah.
So at the end of this, he insinuates that he had prevented the Y2K disaster from happening. So, like, he essentially was like, well, what if I told you that I couldn't, like, how does he phrase it? It's like, you wouldn't know that something terrible isn't going to happen because it doesn't, I don't know. It's something about, like, I can't prove to you who I am because, like, the bad thing that I could tell you about isn't going to happen or never happened or whatever.
Again, scapegoat.
Yeah, exactly. Although, in another forum, he says, Y2K, like, 2 years ago, he says, Y2K is going to be a disaster. Okay. In January of 2001, an identical introductory post from the one that he posts in the Time Travel Institute forums, shows up in an Art Bell forum. This time, he's using a username, John Titor. And I don't know if I'm saying the last name right. That's how I've been saying it in my head. It's spelled T-I-T-O-R.
Okay.
Titor. But John. And these posts go from January to March. Essentially, he's doing the same thing where he introduces himself and then he is talking with a whole bunch of different people. This is another kind of like Reddit situation. And so I'm just going to like tell you more of the stuff that he says. So he says some people in 2034 don't believe in time travel.
Because it's brand new.
It is brand new. He says that the pictures he was providing were of poor quality because he took them with a 2000s era Polaroid camera, and also because he was having to upload them on like a website. He was like having to scan them and upload them, and
quality. He's got excuses.
Yeah, he said he wouldn't answer specific prediction questions like
who'll win the World Series.
Yep, like who won the Super Bowl or what will the weather be in Chicago next week?
Well, hey, you can't expect him to, like, know that.
Yes.
Like, nobody's going to have a weather forecast memorized. Like, it's one thing, it's like, okay, well, I know I'm going to go back to the year 2002.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to learn, like, what's happening in 2002 so that you can be prepared for it. Like, okay, you know, with the whole, we need to, what cars are popular at this time, so that's the car I need to drive.
Yeah.
Or, you know, because you can't show up wearing a whole bunch of flashy colors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can't go to 2036 wearing a bunch of flashy colors and no hat.
Yeah.
Without a red dress for special occasions. Right. Good grief.
Madness.
So
you've got to know, and like maybe you looked up to see who won the Super Bowl, maybe you didn't, but no, you certainly did not look up
weather conditions in a random city.
Yes.
For a specific week.
Yeah. So he does point that out. He's like, that would be like me asking you what was the weather in Denver on August 8th of 1994. Like, you would not know that information. Neither do I.
No, but same person would.
But then he has, like, rules. So one of his rules is that he won't give anyone information that could cause them to lose or gain money. So,
fair.
Sports betting. Or, like, someone's asking him about stocks or the prices of gold or whatever. And he's like, I'm not going to give you money or I'm not going to give you information where you could lose or where you could gain money or someone could lose money. He also won't answer questions that will, I think, cause someone to, like, avoid disaster or something.
Like, we're going to, Louisiana in August.
Yeah.
Like, ooh, don't go in August. Not because there's going to be a major hurricane or anything, but don't go.
And he does use an example because someone's like, why would you not want to prevent people from, like, dying? And he uses an example, which, like, I will give him credit for this. He says, like, take, for example, like, Pearl Harbor. If you went and told the radar operators that, you know, the blips they were seeing on December 7th weren't actually a mistake, those were actually, like, incoming planes, and, you know, they were able to successfully stop that attack, and you did save everyone who could have died at Pearl Harbor, you know, civilians and otherwise. Yes, you saved those people, but you also may have either prevented or delayed the United States entering the war, and that could have prevented or delayed us working on the atomic bomb, and then the Germans could have gotten to it first. Like, you don't know how that's gonna...
Sure, you might have saved some lives here, but you might have lost more lives in the long run.
Yeah, you don't know how that's gonna influence
could have
bigger
changed
things.
The entire tide of the war. Like,
yeah. And he has another rule, and I didn't write it down, but he has three rules for...
Yeah.
And he cites those a lot.
Respect.
He also talks about the dangers of CJD disease, which is Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease. You know what that is?
Mm-mm.
Great. I'm going to tell you about it. it's a human prion disease.
We're eating too much raw meat or raw humans. Uncooked human meat.
Yes. Well, okay. So
it's
there's...
Mad cow disease, right?
Kind of.
Mad cow is a prion disease.
Yes. So he uses it and mad cow disease interchangeably, I think. When I looked up CJD, I just looked up, like, original CJD disease, which is a human prion disease. It's not related to mad cow disease. Like, the original one is not related to mad cow disease. It is terrifying, though. So I'm going to tell you about it. It's a rapidly progressive, invariably fatal neurodegenerative disorder, which just means it's a brain disease that
shuts you down.
Shuts your brain down, and it's always fatal, with no recognizable pattern of transmission, which means that people just get it and they don't know how they got it. Most people who get it die within a year. And we've known about this particular kind since the 20s. And, like, cases have been steadily increasing since then, but there's not, like, there hasn't been a noticeable spike. Mm-hmm. And it's still between 1 to 3 cases per million people. So it's, like, pretty rare.
Not rare enough to not be a little concerned
about.
I
mean, like...
Especially when you don't know where it's coming from. It's, like, most things, like, oh, you could get this, you know, you can get trichinosis by eating uncooked pork. Okay, well... Avoid eating uncooked
pork.
Yeah,
don't do that.
Salmonella from raw eggs. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Like, undercooked chicken. Like, avoid that.
Mm-hmm.
Prion disease. We got nothing. You can't take any, you know, preventative measures. You just gotta...
Hope you don't get it.
Hope you don't get it.
Yeah. Well, mad cow disease, which is... bovine spongiform encephalopathy. Mm-hmm. That is also a prion disease, only affects cows, that is spread through infected meat. And there is something called variant CJD, which they are not, like, 100% sure, but think is very likely linked to, like, mad cow disease. They're like, it's very, very likely that there's a link between this. So, essentially what John is kind of implying is, in the future, this eating contaminated meat thing is gonna cause an issue with CJD being spread.
Well, I mean, didn't COVID come from a pangolin?
Come from a what?
A pangolin.
I don't know.
Basically, it came from eating a contaminated animal somewhere, right?
He does also talk about, like, while he's in the year 2000, being scared of all the food here because he doesn't know where it came from. And talks about how he's only eating things that he either grew himself or has been able to get locally sourced. He's like, I won't eat any of the fast food or, like, meat that he gets from, like, grocery stores or whatever. Back to this IBM computer thing.
All right,
so because he explains a little bit about this. This is a quote from John about the 5100. 50. Did I change the?
You got it here.
50.
You can't always trust what you've got on your dossier.
I know. I wrote 5110.
This says 5110.
Okay. Well, somewhere else I wrote 5100. The 5100 had a very simple and unique feature that IBM did not account for and decided it was not in their best interest to advertise, which in hindsight was not very smart. This accidental feature was thus removed from any future desktop computers. In order to take advantage of this feature, the 5100 I have now required a couple of special tweaks that had to be done by one of the software engineers in 1975. Anyone who is familiar with this feature and was told to keep their mouth shut about it will be able to tell you what it is.
But he can't? Is that via his rules?
I guess not. But apparently, some IBM engineers would later come forward, like, after all this came out, and say that everything that John was saying about this was correct, and that there were probably only about 20 people who knew about this, like, feature he was talking about.
It's
so
a feature, not a bug.
So they were like, I mean, he's at least very knowledgeable about it.
Yeah.
If he's not from the future, he at least knows.
Like, we're not saying that he's from the future. We're not saying that everything that he's saying is accurate. We are saying that this one particular part of his story, what he's saying, that is factual.
Yeah. Essentially that's what
we can only confirm this.
Yeah.
And we're not, by confirming this, we are not confirming that he is from the future. We are just confirming that that statement is accurate.
Yes. True. And a few other things that he said about the future. We haven't been to Mars. Which, come on. It's, jeez. Come on. There's very little clean or safe drinking water left, which is
plausible.
But women's rights have improved, and the Amish are still around. So there's that.
Okay, good on women's rights.
Uh-huh.
I don't like that he say that they've improved, because, like, obviously I want them to improve, but, like, I want them to just... Why is women's rights still, like, a separate thing?
Why are we still talking
thing?
About them?
Like, why can't it just be equality? Like, why...
Yeah.
To talk about women's rights, there has to obviously be still some separation or inequality or issue.
Yeah.
Just stop. Make everything better. Anywho, I can't be eloquent on this subject right now because my brain... But what was the other thing? Oh, the Amish being around? That's not at all surprising.
The Amish are
not even a little bit.
They're always there.
The rural folk won, right?
That's true. I mean, yeah. Are there Amish in the Midwest?
I don't know.
I know there's some in Ohio. Is that considered Midwest?
Nobody cares about Ohio. Come on. Everyone knows. It's my thing now. I love to hate on Ohio for absolutely no reason. I have nothing against Ohio. It's okay. Just my running joke to make fun of Ohio. But yes, I would consider them the Midwest.
Okay. I'm pretty sure there's Amish out there.
Basically, there's like Northeast and like New England and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And then there's the South.
Uh-huh.
East. And then there's Texas. And basically like the Southwest is the South. I think you got Pacific Northwest. And then everything else that doesn't fit cleanly into one of the four corners, we just Midwest.
Midwest. Okay. What's like Michigan?
Midwest.
Really?
It's just there in the middle.
Okay. But it's like north.
Yeah, but it's not northeast.
Yeah, but it's like northwest-ish. It's like north middle. North middle. Let's do a north middle category.
That'd be mid-north, not midwest.
Mid-north. All right. So obviously, John's claims were met with a healthy mix of
skepticism
and belief.
Acceptance.
So several people pointed out the fact that John refused to answer specific questions about the future that could easily have proven his authenticity. So he frequently cited his rules for why he wouldn't answer questions. And so people would say, like, kind of like what you were saying, like, if you knew you were coming to this year, like, you could have looked up who wins the Super Bowl. And, like, sometimes he'd be like, well, I know that answer, but I'm not going to tell you.
Right.
You know, because you could win money on it or something. Or, and it's like, yeah, you could. But, like, do you really think people on these forums are going, I mean, like, yes, potentially someone could go bet $1 million on who's going to win the Super Bowl. But there's only two, you know, like, I don't know. Can you win that much money betting on, if you're not giving out specific?
I don't know. But, like, you know, I understand the rules and I respect the rules and I don't know. I guess because, A, I don't believe him. and, B, I don't care enough for him to prove that he's from the future.
Yeah. He also would say frequently that he wasn't trying to convince anyone that he was real, so he didn't really care.
I don't care if you believe me or not.
Yeah, people would, like, bring it up, and he's like, I don't really care. I'm not here to convince you. I'm just here to, like, talk. Like, so if you don't believe me, I don't care. Like,
yeah, well, what is the purpose? What is your mission with the time travel? Or are you just... Yeah, this seems like an interesting year to visit.
Yeah, so he did say, you know, like, my mission was 1975. I'm stopping over in 2000 for personal reasons, which was, I think, for him to see family. Mm-hmm. He did say he was trying to recover items, like personal family items that had been lost heirlooms during the war or something. And then he was waiting. There was, like, a window of time that he could go back, and so he's like waiting. It was like late March or something when he could go back to his own time. So he was like, while I'm waiting and hanging out here, I thought it would be fun to, you know, like, talk to other people who might believe me and talk about it and maybe kind of warn you a little bit about some of the stuff coming up. But if you don't believe me, I don't really care, you know, like,
I'll tell you the, like, big important things,
yeah,
like, you know, Civil War, etc., but, you know, the Super Bowl doesn't matter. It's trivial.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Like, he would say, like, my main advice for, like, the near future would be, you know, like, invest in, like, a bicycle. Make sure that you're able to ride it, like, at least 10 miles, you know, like, or, you know, like, continuously, and have two...
Dang, now I want to go to the gym this week. I'm going to go get on one of the bikes and just see how long I can ride for.
Yeah.
I doubt it's 10 miles.
I probably couldn't ride 10 miles.
I mean, maybe, like, I would probably get bored.
Yeah. I mean, maybe, like, on flat. I could ride maybe 10 miles flat. I
could do it downhill.
Yeah, for real. You know, he said, like, one of them was, like, find at least, I think it was, like, five people within 100 miles of you that you trust with your life. Make sure you, or like find...
100 miles? That's a 10-day bike ride.
One of them was like, identify the things that you would need to take with you if you had to leave, you know, like in a moment's notice, be able to carry them on your back, have like two sets of spare tires, like just like random, I mean, things that
work on your primitive skills or like your basic things, like stuff like I love to do, candle making, soap making, canning, preserving.
Yeah. I mean, it was like kind of survival-y stuff. Stuff that you would kind of think of if you were thinking, okay, a civil war is going to break out soonish.
And, like, even if all of society, like, doesn't collapse entirely, like, be ready to, you know, do without. Like,
yeah.
You know, during war times, you know, there's food rations. There's times, like, you know, eggs may not be available.
Yeah.
Kind of a thing.
Don't we know
or it. Sugar might not be available. Yeah. Stuff like that.
Yeah. You know what made me think of was there was a podcast I used to listen to called, I think it was called It Could Happen Here.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to, it was one of those podcasts I had to stop listening to because of my anxiety. But it was about what would happen, I think it was what would happen if another civil war started and like how it would start.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like very realistic because it was like, well, you know, we'd probably be using, like, drones and, like, and, like how things would be divided. And and it was just, like, way too realistic for me. And, cause it, and it was, I think it was.
Why do you think Shelton and I love our property up in the mountains?
But it was also, like, you know.
Working on my gardening skills right now. I've got a lot of my other, you know, survival-y primitive skills.
It was
I'm ready.
Oh gosh.
almost ready.
I think it was before the 2020, what year are we in? It was before the 2020 election. Mm-hmm. So it was like, you know, when there was a mm-hmm. lot of political divide and it was talking about like how that was going to be the breaking point. Riots
were happening.
Yeah, and it was going to be like that's what's going to be the divide.
I told you I predicted basically all of that, right? In like 2016.
Are you a time traveler?
Not quite.
just your son.
I started plotting. Yeah. I started plotting out a novel and I stopped writing it because things that I was starting to write or that I'd written
were
starting to happen. Mm. And I was like, I'm gonna put this away. Because if I write this and publish it, like, I don't want some people to see it and be like, oh, this is an instruction manual.
Yeah.
For how to, like, completely ruin the world. So.
Yeah.
Like, there's still things that are happening that I'm like, what about that? I thought that that didn't happen.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, well. Here's a fun little fact. In 2004, this is, like, almost has nothing to do with it, but I included it. In 2004, a programmer named Marlon Polam tried to patent the design for John's time travel machine based off the diagrams and pictures that he provided.
Okay.
And I think the patent was successful. He didn't obviously build it.
No, he just patented the design.
Yeah. And fun fact, on March 14th of 2013, Marlon was arrested and charged with several sex crimes. Which included drugging four separate women with LSD and ecstasy using a syringe.
Oh, God.
I know. He ultimately pled guilty to attempted second-degree assault, unlawful possession of ecstasy, and unlawful possession of ketamine, and pled no contest to second-degree sexual abuse, and was sentenced to 6 years and 3 months in prison.
Gross.
So, yeah, I know. That was, like, randomly included in this Thrillist article I was reading. And I was like, ew. Okay. In 2008, an Italian TV program aired the results of an investigation into John Titor by a private investigator named Mike Lynch. So, what Mike found was that there was no... So at this point, John has been back in his own timeline for 7 years. So Mike found no registry evidence, which I don't really know what that means. But he didn't find any evidence of an individual named John Tedor, which John had claimed in the forums that that was his real name and that he had been born in Tampa, Florida in 1998. But Mike did find a for-profit company called the John Tedor Foundation that was formed in 2003 that had no office or physical address but had a P.O. box in Kissimmee, Florida?
Kissimmee.
The IP address that was linked to the John Tedor post was also in Kissimmee, Florida. So they're like, that's interesting. I won't say suspicious yet, just interesting. Mm-hmm. And then in 2009, it came out that a man named Larry Haber, who was an entertainment lawyer, was the CEO of the John Tedor Foundation. And he had a brother named Richard, who was a computer scientist, apparently at like a really like high security company.
Uh-huh. So they did that as a joke.
So after that information came out, a lot of people concluded and believed that Larry and Richard were behind the John Tedor posts. The Haber family has, like, denied all of that. Uh-huh. I don't know what they have said about, like, why they have created, like, what the John Tedor Foundation is and why they created it. I would be interested in, like, uh-huh. I want to be like, well, if you didn't do the post, what's this foundation for?
Did you see the posts and you're like, oh, let's, you know, do this kind of as a joke, or like, let's set up some breadcrumbs, because we can prove that you guys are tied to this foundation.
Yeah. And that the P.O. box registered to the foundation is in the same city, at least, where the posts were being made.
Yeah.
In 2018, a man named Joseph Matheny, who was the creator of an alternate reality game called Ong's Hat, publicly claimed that he was a consultant for the people who created John Tedor, although he refused to name those people. And here are a few quotes from Joseph. He said, John Tedor is a story that was created as a literary experiment by people who were observing what I was doing with Ong's Hat, and these people wanted to do something like that. I was a consultant on the project, but it wasn't my project. This was pure art in the sense that we could build a story, build a character that didn't have books, movies, and media attached. The people involved were very into folklore, and we were talking about the internet being the modern vehicle of folklore. I thought everybody would get this wink, wink, nudge, nudge, but when they didn't, I went to the other people involved and said, let's come out and tell the truth. Nobody would. But, like, there's not any way to confirm his story. That's just him saying, I was involved with it, because he's not naming the other people.
Right.
That's just him saying, other people did it, and I was involved.
Yeah.
And I said that we should tell the truth.
It was their idea. I helped them, you know, expand it and turn it into what it turned into, but it was theirs.
Yes. There have also been other, quote, Johns who have come forward. So because John was operating within the multiple timelines theory, the idea that he lived in a multiple or in a different timeline, right? Mm-hmm. Because he went back in time. Mm-hmm. So he
eventually did leave.
He left this timeline
and went back to the 70s to go get that computer.
Yes.
You know, his mission.
Yes. So when he was in this timeline, there was another him, uh-huh. right? So that him grew up and was a different him than the one that was posting on the forums.
Right.
So there's obviously the theory that there could be other John Tedors, either the one that was originally in this timeline or others floating around that traveled back, whatever. So one such person who calls himself John Tedor II is a man named Dana Lee Stern Sr., who is described as, quote, a man with a notable criminal record, a pile of aliases, and who claims his own son injected Windex into his brother's brain as a child to give him cancer.
How?
I don't know. That's all I know about him. And all I know about him is that he has, like, sued some people to try and get, like, profits from a book. And he's a mess.
Okay.
The real John Titor hasn't been heard from since March 24th of 2001, which was his last public post in the Art Bell forums. Obviously, none of his quote-unquote predictions have come true yet, although it's not 2036 yet, so yep. We don't know. And as you mentioned earlier, his defenders would argue that if none of his predictions do ever come true, it's because of the alternate timeline theory and because he either fixed what was wrong or someone else came and went back
changed the course of things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But that is the story of John Titor, the time traveler.
Well, all right then.
Yeah. That was, I thought, a fun time travel-y story.
I love time travel.
I do too. I also love, I don't know, I like reading about the predictions and the, man, I got deep into the forums and the, I mean, really, if you're bored, you could jump on this 400 page.
Oh, God.
I mean, truly, you can, they're color-coded, so everything he writes is in red, so you can really skip through and just read the stuff he's writing,
which
is mostly what I did. But that's all the shit I wanted to tell you about the other night, where I was like,
oh, yeah.
Oh, the Civil War and the future and the and the way society is going to be different. And I mean, because, like, when you read enough about it, you're like, I know this is bullshit, but also, like,
I don't know, maybe it's time to move out to the country so that I'm on the winning side.
But also, like, I get why people, A, engage so much, and B, like, why someone created this and, like, how they could go so far with it, because I'm like, it is...
Well, time travel's fascinating.
Yeah.
To everyone. Everyone's, you know, at least mildly interested in it. And, you know, like, the idea of hearing somebody travel through time. And, you know, I feel like he was, you know, smart enough and knew enough about computers, science, and physics to make a really compelling story.
Yeah,
you know, like, say definitely. Just enough technical jargon to give it, you know, to add a little bit of, you know, credibility to the story, and, you know, just make it very compelling.
Yeah.
Like, but still, just a story. Like, it's a very compelling art piece. Like,
yeah, it is.
The guys said.
And, like, the fact that he also just committed to it and then just, like,
vanished.
Just, yeah, like, he never came back and was like, oh, and I'm back, just visit, you know, like, because I can imagine that would be tempting to, like, just to come back and visit and be like, oh, I stopped back in.
See, and that's what makes me think that this is much more of, like, the art piece or just a joke or, you know, whatever, that somebody, you know, had fun coming up with this story. And interacting with people, not because it was an actual person out there that, you know, was, you know, a few, what's a few crayons short of a box?
Oh, yeah.
Not the sharpest crayon. No, no. Well, anyway, basically a little wackadoo out there, because if this was basically a crazy person or a delusional person who truly thought and believed these things, you know, years and years could not pass without them having to, like, jump back on the internet to defend themselves or to defend their story. Like, they wouldn't just let it go.
Yeah, I agree.
Unless they died.
I hope that was a...
That was fun.
I know.
A fun little... Have fun thinking about time travel while you're just staring into the Christmas lights.
The colored Christmas lights.
Yeah.
Time travel. And by the way, guys, at Katie's house, when I left, the lights on her tree were colorful.
Maybe I was sad.
When I pointed it out, she was like, Walker did that. What did you say? You're like, Walker put them up.
Like, yeah. Walker put those up.
She made it sound like he had unstrung the white lights on her tree and then restrung her entire tree with colored lights.
really all he did was push the button.
But I like to think he was a little elf and restrung your entire tree.
Oh, yeah. We don't need an elf on the shelf. We have
a walker and the crocker.
Yeah, a critter. The only thing I can think of is sitter.
A critter in the glitter box.
A critter in the glitter.
All right. We'll work on that.
Well, if you want to see these super technical photos and diagrams, check out our Facebook and Instagram at The Tales We Tell Podcast. If you want to see pictures but you don't do the social media, check out our website, thetaleswetellpodcast.com. You want to support us and get yourself some sweet, sweet swag? You should check out our Redbubble store. We've got a couple different logo designs, and you can put that shit on anything. And if you want to support us but you don't need the stuff, except, I don't know, early access, commercial-free listening, bonus content, love notes and stickers, and other random goodies sometimes, become patrons at patreon.com, search The Tales We Tell. And we hope everyone has a wonderful, safe, and happy holidays, celebrating whatever you celebrate, or not celebrating at all, just...
relaxing, maybe?
Yeah.
I hope everyone's getting some time off.
To mellow.
Mellow out.
I would love a sick day. I could totally use one right now.
Could use one. I just hope people are getting to spend time with people that they love, and that's what I'm looking forward to, is I'm getting to spend a week with my parents, and... Mm-hmm. It's going
to
be...
My dad's supposed to come up, and then shortly after, you know, he leaves, basically when the start of the new year, Shelton's having his surgery, so his mom's coming down, nice. So we'll get to have second Christmas with Dorothy, so...
Nice.
It'll be real nice.
Well, we will see you guys after Christmas, but before the new year?
No, I think we'll see everyone in the new year.
In the new year. In the future.
We'll see you all in the future. I predict that in 2024, we'll have more episodes.
I couldn't think of anything. Great. That was beautiful.
All right.
Bye-bye.